I'm Chris.
I'm Patty.
And this is Don't Give Up, Hunks. I like that my voice cracked right away. I don't know if you noticed that, Patty.
That was good.
Anyway, hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome back to another episode of Don't Give Up, Hunks, where I force somebody to talk to me about their feelings and their memories. Patty, you're a longtime friend of the show, friend IRL. I mean, never met IRL, but I feel like we're friends off the mic.
I believe in that as well. I feel the same. I feel like I know you very, very well. Here's the thing. I feel like I had you on my thing a while back, and we talked about this, is that I feel like I know you quite well, and I think you feel like you know me quite well, even though we don't actually ever talk like this that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I listen to your shit, and you listen to my shit. Yeah, I listen to the stuff you make, you listen to the stuff I make, and between us, like, oh, I know what he's doing.
I think most people probably know the story, and I told you not to say it, but go ahead and tell the folks the story of how I ruined the first guest episode I did.
Yeah, it was so good. So we met you via Chomp, Chomp Chain Podcast, respect.
I think this was like 2016, maybe.
This was whatever year Metal Gear Solid 5 came out.
2015? Oh my god, I can't remember that far back.
That doesn't sound real. No. But we decided, we thought, we'll talk about Metal Gear 5, and like, I'd wanted to talk to you for a while, because like, I like Chris, he sounds like he's one of my kind of people, like, he likes the things I like, let's get him on. We had you on to talk about Metal Gear 5, and it was like, what, 2 friggin' hours we talked for, it was like another long one.
It was a long one.
It went on long. And like, fantastic, amazing, like, thanks for coming, like, it's a really good effort, really good show, really enjoyed it, really chatty, send me the audio when you're done, A+, job done. So this chuckle fuck, this podcast champion had not put headphones on for the entire recording. So on your recording, I got us and you.
Your voices were just coming out of the computer speakers.
Yep, because this boy
my microphone
had only ever recorded in a room around one microphone with the other participants. Like, you've never needed a headphone. What's a headphone?
And we had like 14 listeners at the time, and you guys were way bigger, and it just felt like this is the first time that so many people are going to hear my voice, and this is how it was. And you know what? You know what? I remember reading the comments from people who I now know, didn't know at the time, you know, fellow listeners of your podcast and everything. They were all very nice, despite the fact that I sounded like a garbage robot. Everyone said really nice things. I don't remember anyone saying anything mean. If anyone said anything mean, it probably was Jeremy.
It was me. It was me.
You had to suffer for it.
Several mean things. Sat in Audacity. I used to edit in Christopher. I edit in Audacity, which is not a friendly thing to edit in. Oh, it took me.
It's not.
A while. If you've ever tried to mute,
you couldn't have been that mad, because you mailed me a Final Fantasy VIII action figure across the ocean, so you couldn't have been that angry.
I did. I was shopping in a local shop, and because you used to post pictures of figures all the time. It's what the main thing you did when I first started knowing who you were.
Yeah.
It was, hey, here's a figure. I'm going to take it out into a nice bit of grass and take a nice arty shot. I was like, I appreciate that. Look at you going outside. Touching grass, kind of.
Yep, literally touching grass. My friends would always make fun of me and be like, we're driving by your house, peeking in your backyard, seeing if we see you laying in the grass.
Playing with toys.
Playing with toys. Look, it's photography. I'm not playing, it's photography.
But I think it was... Who did I find? Was it Zell? I sent you... What was it?
It was Laguna.
Laguna Foire.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and there were a few more. I bought them all, because I was like, well, I want these too. Like, come on.
Yeah, and excellent. That was like the only one that I was missing. So I don't know if you knew that. We must have communicated about
we
that.
We did communicate. I didn't want to send you the one you were missing. I was like, I'll just see what you meant. I was like, I'll send it,
Yeah. Oh, lovely times. Lovely the times. Things we did 10 years ago.
Just a casual 10 years. Oh, don't, please. I do not want to go back into archives to see when that would have been. I was going through. I downloaded my Twitter archive before I got off that hell website. And they do not make it easy to, like, look things up. No. Like, if you're trying to search, like, anything older than, like, a year, the website, it just... Because you can open up, like, you can click a link in the archive and it will bring it up as a web page that you can search. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It sucks. You can go through... There is
sucks,
a...
fucking big time.
I'll tell you what it is, right? There is a full-on monstrous text file of every tweet you've ever sent when you download that. And if you can clock like the username or like the number of the person you want to speak to, it doesn't even have usernames for the most part. It's just numbers. So if you can clock the number of the person you want, you can basically search through and go through every interaction you've had with that account.
Wow. I want to find that stuff for me and Jeremy. I haven't deleted, I mean, I'm not on Twitter, but I haven't actually officially deleted anything. So I should go back and see if I can find all that stuff. Because we most definitely said some heinous shit to each other.
I would advise you do that before you delete your account and download the archive, because it is so much harder when it's a text file full of numbers. And you're like, who is 785442? I said that to lots of people.
Do you remember when you met Jeremy, or what your first interactions with him?
Well, this
were?
Is what I was looking for. Like, this is why I was doing it. This is why I went tweet hunting. Is I'm fairly short because I'm very bad with dates. Like, I'm awful with dates sometimes. I don't know when anything is. We'll get to something about that in a minute. But I believe first encountered Jeremy, I think it was Bonfire Side Chat. In
that
the early days. Yeah. He was on there, I want to say the PvP episode, as the PvP guy. And like, he was the PvP. And I thought of Jeremy as a PvP guy for the longest time. Like, before we made friends. Like, he was a PvP guy. Like, I knew about his very, very funny Karmic Justice videos he made. Mm-hmm. I'm going to explain that, because some of the people that listen to this don't know what that is.
Most of the people who listen probably don't.
Yeah, so Bonfire Side Chat was a podcast about Dark Souls, the video game of Dark Souls, which you definitely have heard of. And in that game, you can invade other players and try and fight them and kill them. And it's fun. You know, you can be really horrible to people. And what Jeremy did is he found really, really, like, messed up ways to mess with people. Not horrible, but funny.
Very tricksy.
So the Karmic Justice build, there is a miracle you can pick up called Karmic Justice. And what it does when you cast it, if people hit you like 6 times, you explode. And if they're stood next to you when it happens, they absolutely die. So you can turtle up, beg them to hit you, and then they go pang, 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 boom, and you win. I remember him saying he got like 1 in 20 actually ever worked, but when it worked, it was amazing.
That's still, I mean, that's pretty good considering.
Really good.
There is a sense, I mean, maybe not so much anymore, but back during Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 2, when I was still very green at these games, there was a real sense of fear seeing the name of an invader. Because I'd just be like, shit, I don't know how I'm going to handle this.
I remember my first one in Demon's Souls.
Some fucker like Jeremy.
I remember my first one in Demon's Souls. I remember sweating, like, oh my god, I'm in a horrible area and someone's come to get me. I saw him across the level. I was like, fuck, he's coming, no, and just panicked for like 20 straight minutes running around the level trying to hide.
I always assume it's somebody who's really good at the game and not just like some other nerd like me who's trying out a mechanic. Like,
to see how much they can trick people.
I could probably God.
So he did that. He did the fat Tarkus build, which is where you wear the armor of a black iron Tarkus, a big heavy metal set, and then you two-hand a very big heavy metal shield, and then you stand in a door and don't let anyone through for 20 minutes. It doesn't matter what
that's
you do.
That's so brutal, dude.
That's way worse
than killing them.
It's so friggin' funny. Like, and the videos go on really long. And you see people get so bored with it, they just throw themselves off a ledge. Like, I can't.
Yeah,
I can't
like,
do
what
this.
Else can you do? I would just log off.
Just jump in the bin. And, like, I discovered today, actually, I rediscovered something when I was doing a bit of research for today. Mm. So, on the topic of invasion, so there was a book that came out a while ago. By Jason Killingsworth and Keza MacDonald, it's called You Died, The Dark Souls Companion. I'm stretching my arm out like I'm sort of declaiming to the groom. There's no one here.
Get
it. I'm not good at this anymore.
Neither, dude. I'm so rusty now talking to another person. I'm like, when do I talk? When's my
do
turn?
I go? Do I go? Do you? Is it? Hang on.
Do you, I, yep. do you go or do I go?
Do I go? Is it you? So I got the book, obviously, as we do. Because Jeremy's in that book. Like, they
Jeremy's
talked
in that book. I forgot about that.
They talked to Jeremy in that book, and specifically in the PvP chapter about being a prick to people.
Yeah, they're like, so what's it like to be a terrorist?
What's it like to be an absolute turd of a human? And they talk about, again, specifically the Fat Tarkus build, like how infuriating it was and like why it was fun for him to do. And I reread it today at lunch. I found it. They posted it on IGN. There was an excerpt from the book posted before it came out, and it was that bit. It was Jeremy's bit.
Excellent.
And like, it was my absolute favourite thing to slam him with was, remember when they wrote the book about Dark Souls and the chapter about wankers is about you?
Yeah. Remember, like, when they tried to find the worst person possible to interview and they interviewed you?
You. It's just, it doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up. Jeremy was the nicest dude I've ever met, I think. But in video games, there was no worse gremlin than he.
He's a monster. He's an absolute monster. And I've played a lot of co-op with that man.
We have come here on his birthday today to tarnish his name.
Birthday.
To remind everybody who he truly was. The worst, as we all know him by. The worst.
And I don't know where the worst came from. Like, as long as I've known him as the worst. And I don't think it was
from
the
PvP
days. I think it came later.
It was either a duck feed thing. I don't know if it was a something awful thing or if it just came after the fact.
It might have been. I cannot think of a time when I didn't think of him as the worst.
There's so many mysteries. But to carry around the title of the worst is quite impressive if you really think about it.
Yeah, and when you like take Jeremy the man, this really nice, generous, kind, funny dude, and then you take the title of the worst. Like, how did that happen?
How did those two things didn't connect?
What did he do?
So you met him through... You met him through his horrible, horrible reputation as an evil, awful person. Then how did you get to know him?
That wasn't even the worst part of his horrible, horrible reputation. Do you remember?
Oh, it gets worse.
Do you remember the website darksoulshaters.tumblr.com? That was him as well. He would save up hate mail that had been sent across from Dark Souls PvP. It was a bad website that nobody should look at. Every ist you can think of, it contains. Every ism.
He just archived all of the hateful, awful comments he would get.
Every phobic, every ism, they're all there in text form.
Some that you've never even heard about.
Yeah, you learn new ways to hate people. It was incredible.
You learned new forms of discrimination by going there.
I didn't know you could take fun of someone for this. Oh, okay.
Ah, okay, I'm going to keep that.
He himself described it as a website that you shouldn't go to.
Yeah, yeah. That was a community service. To think now, Dark Souls is Elden Ring and Souls stuff is more popular than it's ever been. Mm. But if we look back, the community was a bit smaller back then, but now I feel like that he could really have harnessed some true evil power with that website if he had kept it going.
You could crowdfund like 30 pages of that website every day. Because everyone, like...
Yeah, that shit was hardcore.
Everyone streams and shares and saves everything now. Like, yeah, everything's out there. You know, people post their PvP wins and losses and stuff. You could just, like, screenshot any stream at any point and you'd get some hate mail in there somewhere. Because someone's not playing the game the way I played the game. I played the game this way. You shouldn't be using that.
It does confuse me why people are still so seethingly like toxic, racist, misogynistic. And I know most people don't even care. Most of these young gamers who are spewing this shit, they might not even feel the things that they say. They just are angry and they say awful things. But you would think in this world of social media that we live in, that where any streamer could be in any one of your game lobbies for anything that you play, you might not want to, you know, say a racism. You might not want to do that.
There are maybe times when you should shut your hole.
That's always the preferred method. Just shut your hole.
Keep the hole shut. Don't say the bad thing. Don't type the bad thing. Yeah. Ideally, don't think the bad thing. But even if you think the bad thing, don't verbalize the bad thing.
A good way to not think the bad thing is to stop ever verbalizing it. Because if you don't use a word, if you don't read a word or anything like that, then you stop thinking a word. And then you're good. Then you forget it.
Wow, that's why I don't remember anything from school.
That's right.
You leave.
That's right.
Do you know what's funny? So when I went to university, right? Do you know what I did at uni? I did computer game design. I learned 3D modeling. I learned level layouts. I learned Unreal Editor. Could I do one single click in any of those programs now confidently? No, I could not. I've forgotten.
That's the same thing. I went to
everything.
I went to school for English literature, and now I can't read. So, you know, where did it all go?
Now I read books made of pictures mostly, because that's what my brain
can handle.
Now I
have to look at pictures. I have to try to imagine what Batman is saying to the Joker, because I can't read it.
He looks mad.
He looks very mad, so I think that this funny guy in the makeup must have done something.
He must have done a joke that was at his expense. I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what this fisticuffs is about.
I'm sure it's a prop
okay,
fist.
So yeah, it was just a prop fist. No big deal. It's just banter. So you found out through various means that Jeremy was, you know, the worst guy of all time, and then you became friends with him. So
became his friend.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know how.
I don't really even know either.
I was.
We were all just constantly listening to each other's podcasts, tweeting at each other. It was just a nonstop feed of gamer hormones. There's no other way to describe it.
Thing is, right. So when I was an active podcaster in the early days before everybody did it, look at me being old.
You did it before it was cool.
I don't think Jeremy spoke on anything he did really for a long time. Like, I don't think he got on mic for a couple of years after we started properly chatting. Like, we played a few games together and stuff, but I don't think he was Jeremy the podcaster for a good couple of years. I want to say,
which is wild because he was very prolific at podcasting.
He did so. I used to give him so much shit. Like, another one, Jeremy. How many hours in your day do you sleep? Because clearly it's zero.
I was like, man, we have, you and I, Jeremy, we have two podcasts and I am tapped out. And he was like, okay, I have 14 right now. And they're all with strangers who I've never spoken to before, but I'm just going to roll with it.
Here's the thing, right, as well. It's not just the act of doing a podcast. It's the act of consuming the piece of media that you're podcasting about, like, you know, a game, a TV show, whatever, and then processing it and thinking about it for a while and having some actual thoughts worth listening to and then getting on the microphone and recording it and then stopping and then editing it and uploading it and doing all that stuff. And he did that 87 times a day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My secret was that I never actually had a single thought about anything. So I would watch Supernatural, for example, or Merlin, and I wouldn't, not a single thought would pass through my head. I'd go, oh, Arthur used his sword in this episode.
I'm going to upset you, Chris. I don't think it was a secret.
Yeah. No, I think that
you listen back.
I think that's always been... Yeah. That's kind of my style.
I feel like me and you share a kinship in this, is that I never think too hard. I just turn the mic on and talk, and then whatever comes out. I told you I've done notes, right, for today. I wrote some notes. And what it is one note app on my phone that is just a series of three-word, like, reminders. I've not done anything big because, like, I'm not going to sit and type out darksoulshater.tumblr.com things. I'm just like, I remember that. That's like, I can find that in my memory.
I need a keyword. When. That's it.
A keyword. Keyword search. Look at us AOLing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Occasionally, I would accidentally stumble upon a thought. And then people would write in and say such nice things. I'd be like, that's crazy, because my brain is barely functioning.
Do you also
message today from somebody talking... Go ahead.
So do you get the thing where people say, oh, that was a cool thing you said. I was like, you need to timestamp this, because I cannot remember a single thing I said for the last week. Mm-hmm.
Yep, people will constantly say, oh, on this episode of that thing, you said this. I'm like, that's crazy. No, I didn't.
I mean,
it's always, they usually are telling me something nice.
Yeah. Because it ain't easy. Things leave your brain. Like, when I was recording the One Bro, like the Elden Ring One Bro, I was like a month ahead on recording at any given point. So I can't remember what I said in June. Please timestamp. Remind me.
I can't remember, and I don't want to remember.
I don't want to. I don't want to watch my own stuff.
Yeah, come on. Set me free.
Who wants to do that?
Are you doing any ridiculous Patty One Bro runs off camera now?
A little bit. So I YouTube retired earlier in the year. Because like I've been doing it for a while, and like as let's give you the real answer, not because I was tired of it. So I am a dad. Like I have a small child, Violet. She's almost six now. Like she's brilliant. She's really funny. I used to send Jeremy videos of her all the time and make him laugh. Like she was good. She knew he was the worst. That's the one fact she knew about him, is that he was the worst.
Oh yeah, I've seen that video.
I taught her that very early. Just to make sure that we had it straight.
That's beautiful.
It's important things to know. And I found that I was... so I was doing my challenge run. Elden Ring level one was the last one I did. I did the DLC and don't do it. It's bad. It's hard. Don't do it.
I could barely do it without
It was
everything.
My first
I had
run.
Everything
you shouldn't
at my disposal.
Do it.
Yeah.
It, you shouldn't
do it ever.
Don't do it. In fact, the week Elden Ring was due to come out, Jeremy sent me a picture of a very threatening message that his watch gave him, which says, "Remind Paddy about his promise."
Dude, I forgot it was all just because of that. You could have been free. You could have experienced joy.
I think it was me and him talking to Sean, the lore hunter, Sean, about our Elden Ring expectations on his like Elden Wait thing. I was like, I'm going to one, bro. Fuck it. First run. Watch me. I'm saying it out loud. I'm doing it. And then they both came at me. And then I did
it. You did it.
Don't do it, anyone. Play it normally first, at least. Don't
enjoy
do
yourself.
It. It's not worth it. but I'd finished that. I'd got it all done. I'd done a few runs. And I thought, I'll have a month off, because that was quite a hard run. Like, the Radahn bit at the end was hateful. Like, nobody, you should never have done that.
That's very difficult.
It was horrible. Don't even get me started. I can't, because that'll be all this episode is. so I finished that and I was done. I thought, I'll have a month off. I said, okay, fine. And I didn't do anything. And I had another month off. I thought, okay. And then I sort of thought, you know, just have that moment of like, am I done? I think I might be done. Like, and I realized in that 2 months, I'd played more games than I'd done in the previous 2 years. You know, I'd gotten through an entire Yakuza game in a month and a bit, which is no mean feat. Along with several, I've watched some TV shows again. I'd gotten back into some shows that I dropped. Like, I'd consumed other media. Because when you're podcasting, you know, when you're not podcasting necessarily, but when you're, like, making videos and stuff, and, you know, for every half an hour you put up, there's 2 hours of work behind it to get that half an hour. And I'm finding out, so I'm spending time in the evening with a little one, and I put her to bed, and then I sit down, and we record, and I'll sit and I'll edit, and I'll finish, and I'll look up, and it's 10:30, and I've done nothing fun that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired. And I'm like, I can't watch any shows. I don't have time. I haven't got the spoons, if you will. I haven't got the spoons for it.
Right. I'm always saying that.
Yeah. It's true, though. Spot on. So I'm like, I'm done. I've got no energy left for anything. I'm like, I think I'm finished. Like, I think I've achieved a pretty high point at the end. And like, I'm going to go out where I want to go.
Yeah.
And like, do it for me. And like, because I want to be, right? Again, it's going to get quite real now. I want to be a really good dad. And I can't do that if I'm just sitting there playing fucking video games all night, ignoring
you
her.
Say that now, but when Bloodborne 2 comes out, then it's a different situation.
We're a different situation, of course, because it will be all I do. But Chris.
But until
Chris,
then, you want to be a good dad.
I've not played Sekiro. I didn't buy Nightreign.
Dude,
I think I'm clean.
What?
I didn't buy it. I don't want to play fucking roguelike. I don't have the time.
Oh yeah, I haven't played Nightreign. I haven't touched that. But I love Sekiro.
Do you know
a
fun fact,
game, dude?
I can give you another thing. Jeremy offered me a free copy of Sekiro. He had a code. I was like, don't want it.
Whoa!
I just wasn't
free from it.
I don't like. This was when it came out. This is when, and I just don't like parry lords. I've tried a few other Souls-like between like your Neos and stuff. I'm like, I just don't like these parry-heavy games. I was no good at parrying in Bloodborne, for example. Like, I knew I couldn't do it.
Same. I can't parry in any of the games, except for Sekiro.
You look at Sekiro.
Sekiro is the only one that I learned how to do it.
Yeah, it's the parry game. And I have purchased it in the last couple of years. I still haven't played it. But like, he offered it to me. I was like, do you know what? I don't think I want to get into this one. I'm quite happy with my nice, slow, boring Dark Souls 2. Thank you very much. I'll do another boring...
I turned on Twitch or something. Jeremy was live one day, and I looked at it. He was on New Game Plus of Sekiro and fighting one of the very difficult bosses. And I always joked to him that he was parrying so fast that I got lightheaded watching it. It was insane. So by the time that anybody finishes that game, I think you feel really confident, because if you're able to beat the final boss, then that means you have learned the rhythm of the game. And once you've learned the rhythm, for some people it's very quick, for others, like me, it's very painful.
Yep.
But once you learn the rhythm, it feels really, really, really good. It's really fun to play once you have learned the rhythm of it. But even so, some of these bosses, they have a very strange rhythm that they dance to. So keeping up with them is always a challenge, no matter how many times you've done it. And watching Jeremy fight this boss that on my first run took me probably 5 real hours, and just watching him beat it in like 30 seconds, not take a single hit, and he's not even trying. He's talking to chat the whole time. I was blown away by that. And then afterwards, like months later, he's like, yeah, I don't really like that game that much. It's not really for me. I'm like, what do you mean it's not for you?
You're a master.
You're so fucking good at it. Yeah, what do you mean?
Oh my God. Like, no.
Yeah. The mood ever strikes you, if you ever watch a bunch of ninja movies and you're like, I want to feel this in a video game, play Sekiro. Mm. It's a good time.
Yeah.
As long as you don't mind being really mad at the final boss.
Oh, good. Like, ninjas and samurai. Like, if I got through Melania, like, if I got through that, surely I can get through.
Well, sure, yeah, but you did a level one, so that's something. I still think the final boss of Sekiro is more difficult than anything.
Really? Oh, interesting. Well, see that? But all you're doing, Chris, is making me not want to do it.
Yeah, I know. I had to quit for a week because I was smashing my head against the final boss over and over and over again, which is not a healthy way to enjoy a video game.
No.
And I would spend hours and fail, and then I would be mad because I would, you know, be at work all day and then come home and spend 2 hours playing that, and I'm like, okay, well, now I gotta go to bed. Like, that was, I wasted my whole evening
100%
failing to this boss.
100%.
When I finally beat it,
yeah.
Mm. When I finally beat that final boss, my heart rate was 144. That's fucked up. My body thought, my brain thought that I was in real combat.
But the enemies are at the gate, Chris.
That's not good.
Sweat it out, idiot. It's time to go.
Yeah. Oh. That's, yeah, my body was in fight or flight mode.
I feel like I've done my one of those, though. I feel like I've Melania was a week of my life. It was 3 hours a night. It was about 500 attempts. And this is, again, level one. I know I did this to myself. I think on day 5 or 6, I was sad mad. I was so... I nearly gave up. Yep. I was so close to it. I was like, I don't think I can do this. And, like, Jeremy, as well as our friends, Sean, the Lore Hunter, and our good friend Peter Cleaves as well, noted alumnus of the early Souls community, Peter Cleaves. They were my council. I had a little group chat of the council that were...
The council, these are my
three trusted boys to get me through Elden Ring. And if I needed a tip or a hint or an idea or something, I would bounce it off of them. And I'd done this in the past with Bloodborne. I was coming at Jeremy and I was going at Sean for like ideas about what to do in the Chalice Dungeons. I was like, I'm so stuck. I don't know what to do. Like, help me. And they were there for the whole Elden Ring run. So I was like throwing updates every night in the chat. Like, how are we? Like, I'm not all right. I'm almost done with this. Like, I don't think I can do this one.
Ooh.
But then again, I got it at like 10 to midnight on a random Thursday.
How do you even go to sleep after that?
I didn't. I was awake like an hour and a half. I properly like threw the controller down. I was like, ah!
Yeah.
And like, I think, oh my God, I'm going to wake up Violet. It's midnight and I'm yelling and she is 2.5 years old and I've just screamed the house down. And I was like, I ran to the other room, like, Laura, guess what? And she's like, I heard.
the whole neighborhood heard.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's midnight and I'm popped. I couldn't think. I was sweating.
It's a beautiful feeling though, isn't it?
But I don't know if I've got another one of those in me. Like,
I understand.
I said this to someone else. I'm off the CBT at the minute. I don't need my testicles punched in to enjoy a video game at the moment. I'm actually having fun doing normal stuff.
I play games on easy sometimes.
Chris! Easy?
Easy.
They'll hear you, Chris. They're coming. The casual hunters.
Yeah, there's some times when I'm just like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm putting it on easy.
It happens. I will do that if I don't feel like I'm having a good time. Like, if I'm not having a good time,
oddly enough, the game that started that for me was Persona 5, of all things. Oh. I had played about half of it and then lost steam because it's a very long game. And then the Royal Edition or whatever came out with extra content and all this stuff. And I thought, do I have to replay those 60 hours again? I don't want to do that. I thought, if I just put it on easy and never grind and beat every boss very easily, I don't have to worry about it. And I did it. And I had a great time.
It's your video game.
Over, I mean, meanwhile, you're over here, you know, you're putting on weighted vests and arm links like Goku as you play every video game just for the extra challenge.
I would you believe, since I've retired, I've managed to now knock off randomizers of all three main Dark Souls games. I've done a randomizer of Elden Ring, which was fucked. Just Radahn's hanging
like
out.
It would be.
Hanging out in the Weeping Peninsula, yeah, just the... Radahn's on cliff edges like, why are you here? You shouldn't be here,
that's
my
scary.
Friend.
That's scary. There's such horrendous. A wide variety of enemies in Elden Ring, which makes it even worse. Because it's in Dark Souls, there's got to be like, what, like 30, 40 enemy types max? Elden Ring feels like it's double that, so you could just see the worst thing you've ever seen in your life at any corner.
At any corner, you can turn a corner. Oh, cool, that's Melania. Well, guess I'll die.
Yep, excellent.
I got very lucky with her. I'll tell you the worst one I had.
Go ahead.
In the very start of the game, in Limgrave, literally right next door to the first church, Bale the Dread, just sort of hanging out.
No.
And he aggroes very quickly.
Yeah, I would imagine. That's awful.
It was, I ran away at every opportunity. I was not interested. I don't think I ever went back for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. You know, there's that dragon in the lake right in Limgrave when you kind of first step out, you go to the right, and there's a dragon in the lake there. It swoops down on you. When the game first came out, I think I had already beaten Melania at this point, so it was a few weeks in, and one of my friends was saying, he had just started it, oh, I'm stuck on that dragon in Limgrave. I'm like, dragon in Limgrave? What are you talking about? I had just somehow never walked in that exact area that spawns the dragon. So I go riding over there and be like, what is he talking about?
It's a puddle. Why
it's
would you go
puddle
there?
And there's a dragon in it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to get my hooves wet.
No. Here's the thing. It's such an open game that you don't have to go anywhere. Like, I had the council pointing me out stuff I'd missed. I would give them, like, I had a spreadsheet of every boss that I'd found in every area, and I kind of put the episode title so I kind of kept it straight. I was like, right. Guys, have I missed anything? And then they would give me like, maybe try around behind that corner. Like, okay. And then I would find something that would knock my penis off. And then it was fine.
Yeah.
Because I'd found it. And I you know, they helped me tick off all the guys. But I would say, if you're going to do a randomizer run, I know we're getting wildly off topic. If you're going to do a randomizer, do Dark Souls 1.
This is the topic, is whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. Do Dark Souls 1. Do Dark Souls 1, because there's less enemies, but like every problem is pretty much solvable, and because you can go in 17 different directions and it all kind of curls round back on each other, I don't think I've done a run of it that was not achievable. Like, I don't think I've played a game of it where I couldn't progress. Yes, there might be a Manus hanging out, but if you can make him get stuck on a ledge or not go through a door or fall off a ledge, you've beaten that Manus.
True. There's so much wonky geometry in that game.
You can get Gwyn caught on ledges. Like, if you're going through, like, you know, one of the early levels and you see the level suddenly look really orange in the distance, you're like, well, final boss is here.
Does it play his music? That's the important thing.
No, it just glows and then he comes at you.
Wow. So if you get to the final boss in a randomizer, is it just a random enemy?
Could be anyone. Yeah, it could be anyone. I've had a random hollow there.
So it could
there
just
once.
Be like
I've
an undead soldier, or
yeah, you can adjust your settings. You can have like I like to have mine tweaked for about 5 to 10% bosses potentially in the levels, and then a 5 to 10% chance of a boss being replaced by a normal guy.
That's so funny.
Which led to me on the one that I recorded that I put on YouTube. My Manus. The hardest boss of the DLC, my Manus, was a single maggot. It was so funny.
I just imagine opening the gates to King Vendrick when his music starts playing, and there's just some like slug down there instead. This regal, sad man wandering in circles in the darkness for 1,000 years, instead replaced by a little slug.
A little slug boy. I did that as well. I did a Dark Souls 2 all X run where you replace every enemy with one particular enemy. And I thought, what's challenging and stupid? So I chose the Covetous Demon, a big fat joke of a slug. It turns out when there's 40 of them, it's not that easy.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think so.
I had to unrandomize it for one boss, and it was the Skeleton Lord's fight, which... For those listening who aren't familiar with the games, you go in and there's these three kind of wizard skeletons on thrones, and they descend, and then you start fighting them, and you kill one, and then when you kill one, like seven or eight other skeletons will pop up, like regular ones, and they'll come at you. It turns out when you replace every enemy with the covetous demon boss, what happens is it spawns 30 covetous demons and the game crashes and you can't beat it.
Yeah, yeah. That's understandable that you might need to change that one a little bit.
Awful. And I had to unrandomize it, beat the boss, leave, re-randomize it and come back in. And what happened is that all the corpses were still there. So what happened is 30 covetous demi flopped around like slugs in the room. It was the most Junji Ito thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. We are still in agreement that Dark Souls 2 is the best one, right?
It's clearly the best one. It's the only good one.
The best one. That's the new stance. New stance 2025 moving into 2026. Dark Souls 2 is the only good one.
They only got it right once. They tried.
They only got it right once. That Miyazaki guy, he screwed it up every time they let somebody else take control, and they got pretty close.
Yeah, they've never reached the heights of Nishandra, the final boss. They've never reached that high.
No. They've never have. I don't know. I mean, I love Dark Souls 2. You heard me talk about it a couple weeks ago. And by the way, I have to just assume that at this point in my editing process, I have to assume I have just put in the Majula theme over and over and over again.
Oh, it has to be.
It's just looped constantly.
Oh, it genuinely brings me home.
It's seriously, that might be my favorite place in a video game. Just going there. Just that brief moment of, it's
everything's
nice.
Fine.
Okay, time to go do something horrible.
Nothing's trying to kill me. Unless you randomize it.
Unless I attack the little piglets.
Or you randomize it, and then there's two of those giants that live underground in the Black Gulch that then walk at you very slowly, like, oh, come now.
Oh, shit. That sounds like a horror game if you do that.
I made them fall in a hole.
That's why, wait, you gotta do what you gotta do.
You have to use so many different ideas to solve these randomizer puzzles. Like, can I get them stuck? Can I make them fall in some geometry where they don't work anymore? Can I break their brains so they stop moving? How do I do this?
So, okay. We got up to... Did we get to more friendship stuff with Jeremy? Because you guys played a lot of games together.
We did. So we played quite a bit of Souls together. I would say our main thing we played, we played Dark Souls 2. We had a whole run of that together. I want to say he might have streamed it. I don't know if that's true.
I feel like I remember that.
Yeah, and we were both just like big hammer dudes, I think. Just having a ball, just like not playing the game well, but playing the game fun. Like, yeah. You don't want to be an edgelord and go, I've got the best damage equipment in the game, and I've actually best... No, what we've done is we've put the largest hammer possible, we've put on some pants, and we're going to go see if we can kill God.
Yes, that is the most important way to do anything in any game, I think. That's been my approach to playing Dungeons & Dragons, is just, what can I do that is ridiculous? My most recent escapade was just, we got attacked by some scarecrows. We were near our campfire when this happened, so I just thought, the smart thing to do here is to pick up the scarecrow and throw it into the campfire. It's not going to do as much damage as if I just used my sword on it, or if somebody else cast a spell and did XYZ specific very perfect thing. But I am going to pick it up and throw it into the fire.
It's made of hay, and it was disastrous. But, like, you've connected a dot, a very small pair of dots that weren't far apart. Like,
yeah. The thing caught on fire. And it did damage. It took fire damage every turn, but then it was on fire. So every time it attacked us, it remained on fire. So we were then on fire.
What your DM has done is he's offered you a tray with some delicious snacks on, and you said, oh, I don't mind if I do. I'll take that tiny pie. Thank you for this delicious treat you've
offered.
That's
why I had to have my character sell his soul, you know? DM is offering me delicious treats. It would be rude of me not to eat his delicious treats.
Eternal Damnation is tasty, isn't it?
Yes.
For what it's worth, I've really been enjoying the D&D stories, by the way. I love D&D stories, and I've several of
it's
my
been
own
so
as
much
well.
Fun. It's been so much fun. Yeah, I need to hear your... So you just finished like a campaign that you DM'd, right?
I did my first real DMing. I did. Our usual group, we started during COVID. An old friend of mine from uni, one of his friends, and then someone I knew as well. Laura played for a little bit as well, but she ended up having to do, you know, baby stuff in the evening. She's like, I can't do all these things at once. It was fine.
Yeah, I had to take care of a human.
We've had a kind of like an in and out. Like we had a small revolving door, one in, one out. But yeah, our DM Andy's been running a game for us for about 3 or 4 years, and we've kind of hit a nice sort of end point on that. So we've taken a bit of time to kind of, we've all had a go at DMing because I've wanted to try it properly for a while. Again, one of the other guys has wanted to try it properly for a while. So we all kind of did our own thing for a bit. And we had a couple of fun. It was the town where nothing goes wrong, and it was a time loop adventure where anytime anything bad happens, the whole town just resets. It was great. It was weird.
That's awesome.
And it was really fun as well. Really, really silly. I played a skeleton who was dressed in the robes, who was dressed in the robes of like a desert turban, the mummy kind of guy, but with a skull face mask on, so you couldn't tell behind that he was actually a skeleton.
I was gonna say if I'm living in a town where nothing goes wrong, and I see a skeleton walking up to me with a robe on, I'm going to think, that seems like something has gone wrong. So you would have to find some way to disguise yourself.
Yeah, so I kept this mask. No one ever worked out. I went underwater. I walked underwater to the middle of a lake and didn't. I just walked back up the other side and no one questioned it because I don't need air because I'm a skeleton.
That's beautiful.
It was great. It was really fun. No one twigged. I hope none of my D&D group listened to this shit. It was a one-shot. It's fine. It was a one-shot. They'll never know.
It's fine. It's fine.
But yeah, I just got off DMing my own one-shot, which I wrote myself as well. I made a point of doing it myself. I wanted to run something my own for ages. And I got this really good book for Christmas a couple of years ago called One-Shot Wonders. It's 100 like one-shot ideas. And it's like a two-page idea.
Yeah.
Here's 3 or 4 characters. Here's something that could happen. Here's a rough map if you need it. Here's some rough stats. Go. Like, really, really well presented. They're organized by, like, theme, or you can, like, search by a keyword, like, funny, or dark, or mystery, or haunted. Like, there's loads of little tags you can look at. And so I found one that was about goats that have gone missing. I thought, well, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Some missing goats. And I sent the guys off on an adventure to go retrieve these goats from various perilous scenarios, which was fun. But then when they come back, they finish the adventure, and they've come back, but the town is empty. Everyone in town is gone. I'm not going to bore you with the whole story of my D&D game that I wrote.
I'm kind of interested, but yeah, continue.
It's good. It's long. But yeah, I basically, the main villain, as it were, was a horrible frog, psychic frog thing that was taking over everyone's brains. And
I'm taking notes.
All
I'm
off.
Stealing all these ideas.
It was great. His name was King Edward Pole, because if you shorten that, it's Tadpole.
Excellent. Excellent.
And he basically took all the town away, like, to a castle where he was to become his own king. So the party, we returned to town and no one's there. Apart from, like, a couple of animals, but, like, the people are there. Forgot one of our characters was playing a druid type, so he turned into a hamster and had a chat with the hamster. I was like, oh, fuck. I did give them that, didn't I? I have left that open to give an idea where to go. And what I'd done before they went off to get the goats is I gave everyone a little, like, scene in town where, like, they were sort of talking to the people they normally talk to. You know, they live there. It's where they come from. You know, one of them was a PE. He basically, my friend Jim decided to make Sportacus from the TV show Lazy Town, which was a kids' show you know, Sportacus, right?
Yes.
From We Are Number One fame, that guy. He basically made Sportacus. He was a PE teacher that did gym classes for all the local townspeople. So I had him have a little lesson where he did a game of British Bulldog in the school, and the little kids got quite injured, and it was quite funny.
That's
Yeah, it was good. One of our guys is a sentient ooze, who's a rogue character. In the system we're using, it's called a cheat. And he worked in a pub and let him kind of run a dodgy game of cards for some of the locals. And kind of that was kind of gave everyone a little bit to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we reached the castle itself, all the little interactions we had, I made them into like the framework for what they do going through.
Ah.
So when we got to like the open courtyard, the school teacher was there looking kind of slack jawed and kind of glossy eyed, and she rings a bell and all the kids just run at the team.
Oh shit.
It was great. Our ooze boy, amazing. He turned into a ball and rolled at them. It's like, you've injured so many children.
Hey, better injured than dead, right?
Nope. One dude was killed in the whole scenario and it was an accident. I'll take that. Oops.
There you go.
But it was
good. We fought a.
I like to do. I don't know how you're. Who's your DM? Is it Dylan?
No, it's our other friend. It's another guy who has not done podcasts with
Non-chomp.
Me.
Non-chomp. So non-chomp, I don't know if your DM does this. I like doing voices. I really, really like doing fun voices.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I've ever made a character, I do a voice. Like, I have to come up with a new voice for them because it's fun. It's part of it. I had like a notebook, an A4 page with everybody's name and then what they sounded like or which celebrity they sounded like. To sort of get myself in the mode. We had a mortician who sounded a bit like Dracula, which was quite fun to do. I fully destroyed my throat doing the frog.
That'll happen. We have a lot of gnome children in this part of the campaign we've been in, and our DM started doing a very high-pitched, like, well, if you go over here, and he committed to it for about, like, a minute, and then he was like, nope, this is such a bad idea. We're like, no, you gotta keep doing the voice. Sorry, dude.
No.
You gotta stay in character.
You have to commit, and I'll give you a flavor of the voice I would do. The flavor was like, so, I am your king, and I will have your servitude. Like, I really went for it. And by the end of the session, like, and I am lost my voice.
Yeah.
I sounded awful at work the next day. I was like, I'm not ill. I just D&D'd too hard.
Yeah, we have lots of gnomes, lots of dwarves, lots of witches and hags and ogres. So there's lots of funny voices. The character that I'm playing, lots of that. I play my guy who just pretty much talks like me because I was too embarrassed to do a voice on my first character. But we did a spinoff where I played as a dwarf and I tried my best Gimli impression the entire time. And each time it just got worse. It basically just a Scottish accent that got worse the longer I did it.
Usually you find it
the more you do it.
Yeah, you need like a trigger word to get you into it. Yeah, you need like a sentence you can say that will get you into it. Purple burglar alarm, and there you're there. Purple burglar alarm.
Nailed it.
Yeah, but yeah, I like doing a stupid voice, and let's roll this back round. When I was like looking at D&D ideas of things to do, when you guys were still doing Supernatural, I was like, could I think of something to do for you two? And I never quite put like any ideas together, but I thought, I'm sure I could think of something that I could like jump on and DM at you for a bit. And I never got a good enough idea to present to you both.
It would have been really fun to do stuff like that. That's something that, I mean, I've talked, like, I joined this D&D group shortly after Jeremy passed away, so it was good timing because it gave me something to focus on. I was around my friends again, which was nice. But there's so many moments where I'm like, God damn it, Jeremy would have really liked this. Or, like, just imagine what kind of terrible gremlin he would have been. The awful, awful things he would do. Because for me, and I think I said this to Jake as well, I'll hem and haw in video games. I'm like, well, I need to be nice to them because that's just whatever. My character would be nice to the pretty lady. Or Jeremy would be like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to say whatever. This is a video game or this is a role-playing game. I don't care. I'll say something funny. And I think he would have really dominated a D&D table.
He would have been so good at it. Like, here's the thing. Let me tell you, playing as a bit of a prat, it is intoxicating. It is intoxicating. Yeah.
The most fun I've had was the random one-shot that we did where a couple of members of our group couldn't make it 1 week when we decided we still wanted to play. That's where I played as my Scottish accent dwarf. But where my main character I'm playing a bit more seriously and trying to, you know, stick to things and keep it serious with the dwarf, I was just like, no. I went in, I tried to question a kobold, to ask it questions about where's your master or something. It didn't answer, so I smashed its head in with a hammer, and right then it was like a tone setter for me. It was like, oh, this character doesn't give a shit. He's too stupid to think long enough to you know, try to wheedle things out or try to do the right thing. He's just like, I didn't get the immediate result I wanted, okay, I'll hit it with my hammer. And that was so liberating to play like that.
Oh, it's so much fun. My main character in our campaign, the long one, the 3-year one, was a warlock. And a prick of a warlock as well. He was a proper asshole. And like, I've never played a bad, not a bad guy, but a questionably moral guy. He stole anything that wasn't being looked at. Yeah, it's like, do the rest of the party see me in here? No, I pocket everything I can. Like, I stole everything.
He's not evil. He's just not good.
He's conflicted. Okay, we took a small side mission when we got to our first big town because we needed... do you know what it was? We were very close to leveling up. And we needed a bit of XP. We're like, should we just do a little side mission before we do the real thing? Because we're so close, let's do something. And it was helping some local kind of scumbags lift some diamonds from a ship. We're like, okay, this is kind of a bit questionable, but it's okay. The paladin was not okay with it, but we kind of did it. And then
the paladins, they always got a problem with everything.
Fucking paladins, man. Just get over yourselves. And we did the heist and we got in and we got the diamonds and we got out and we're back at the warehouse kind of, you know, totting things up. And then I had a spell slot left and I cast sleep on all the rest of them, stole the diamonds and left. And then shouted, there's been a robbery as I was leaving.
That is amazing.
It felt so good. No one saw it coming. And I didn't even think I was going to do it in the moment. I was like, oh, I've got an idea.
That's the best thing. That's the best thing about it. When I accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally sold my soul, I didn't get anything in return. Everybody was busting my balls after saying, you could have gotten a magic sword. You could have asked for power. You just got healed and you lost your soul for it. And I'm like, but I was just in the moment. I didn't plan on doing it. It just happened, you know? You don't know. You don't. If the best things are the things that you don't plan ahead, it's the spontaneous, oh shit, things that make for the best moments. I think
you've just
in my
described
very
the
limited
of,
experience with D&D.
You've described the opening of God of War.
Ah,
Ares, destroy my enemies, and my life is yours. Like that's what you did.
I didn't ask for enough. I didn't
cool
specify
chain
enough.
Blades. You could have got a chain blade out of it, man,
dude. That would have been such a game changer, just for like my mental health outside of the game. If I had sweet chain blades,
I could whip around and absolutely not hit
a pair of
in the
sweet chain blades to whip around could fix me,
and then feel really conflicted about them for a few years. Like just it's
I put the ashes of my family on my face or whatever Kratos does.
He does do that. So everyone always forgets that he's not very white. He's covered in the ashes of his first dead family.
Yeah. You know who else did that? Fake Big Boss. He did it too.
Fake Big Boss.
I was just talking to Jake about the Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain trailers that I was so obsessed with. I was so I watched them 8 million
Same.
Times in preparation for that game. It was just my personality was just Metal Gear Solid 5 trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, same. 100% same.
I used to watch television. I just watched trailers.
I remember I had on the front of a PlayStation 2 magazine, I had a DVD with video trailers on it, and one of them was for Metal Gear Solid 2, but we didn't have a DVD player in the house, so when we went to visit one of Mum and Dad's friends, I took my DVD so I could watch the Metal Gear Solid 2 trailer at someone else's house!
That is amazing.
In the main living room with everybody there and no one really understanding it. But I was like, yes! Like 12-year-old me losing his shit.
That is incredible. And we didn't even know about Raiden back then, right?
He's really blinking and emoting.
Hopefully they didn't show like, the posters in the lockers or anything like that.
No. Helpfully, the trailer did not show any of that stuff. It was just running around the tanker.
The trailer
doing
did
stuff.
Not get naughty in front of your parents.
Imagine.
That would have been... It wouldn't have been your fault. You didn't know.
I didn't know. I hadn't seen it because we didn't have a DVD player, cheap asses.
You bastards.
When I bought the PS2, I owned the first DVD player in the house and I coveted it.
I think greatly. Same with me,
We got the PS2, mainly... it was kind of half a DVD player, but like that shit played 4 DVDs and they were in my room. Like, mm-hmm. I never made it downstairs more than twice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's just the way it goes. Sorry. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
So can I tell you can I give you another Jeremy story?
Yeah, please.
Because I've got a million. Like, I've realised how many I've got. Can I tell you about the various things we've posted each other?
Okay, all right.
Because I really didn't want to miss this, because it's
fucked. Yeah, you got it.
So I posted him a couple things over the years. He posted me back a couple things. Because, you know, being in different countries, you know, you have different cultures, different things you have. He'd send me some snacks, I'd send him some snacks, you know, it would work out well. One year I made him, we went to a local like pottery painting place where you pick like a mug or a bowl or whatever and you can paint it and they'll glaze it and then you get like a nice finished product. And me and Laura went, and we made him an autumn coasters, and his one was a lovely rainbow with the worst written across it in big letters. <That's> It was a transatlantic art burn.
That thing had to cross the Atlantic Ocean
to burn him as hard as possible. But in the same same package, because I sent him some prawn cocktail flavor crisps, some Worcester sauce flavor crisps, some like stuff you don't get, like fruit salad sweets and blackjacks, like sweets that are like English traditions. No. But one of the sweets I sent was an English classic, which is called a Parma Violet. And it is like a small, chalky sweet that tastes sort of perfumey.
I feel like I remember Jeremy telling me about this.
Yeah. So I sent him a big bag. I think it was around Christmas as well. I got a message back saying, "What the fuck are these? My entire family tasted them and denounced them as a war crime." I said, "But they're really nice, Jeremy. They're so tasty." He's like, "How do you eat these?"
Oh my god, that's incredible. You know, he was like a couple of drinks in at that point, sharing
them
around.
I think he described them as powdered hatred.
That's incredible. That's incredible. You gotta taste it first.
Yeah, but they're really nice.
Sharing it.
They were all wrong. They were so, they're really nice. I buy them whenever I can.
Those Louisiana bastards.
Yeah, with their shrimp.
Everything in New England is just based off old England. So I feel like our food varieties aren't quite as extreme in their differences as England and Louisiana.
Every time he'd go to like Mardi Gras, I'd see the pictures of like seafood covered in slop. Like, that looks like the worst bathroom break of my life.
He would tell me about stuff. Oh my god. He would tell me about stuff. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm going down to get this or that." I'm like, "I don't even know what words you're saying." And they are just like, they're like a Louisiana staple. But maybe that's just because I'm boring. Maybe it has nothing to do with being from New England.
I had a long chat with him about what gumbo was once. I was like, "What is it?"
Yeah. I had to learn about gumbo from him as well. In New England, I don't think we have any like culinary specialties, because part of being from where I'm from is just that you have to be really, really angry all the time. And when you're really, really angry all the time, it's harder to really, enjoy or develop specialties with food.
Focus on the kitchen.
You just got to be really mad all the time. And if you're not, then, you're not going to fit in.
Just open the oven, throw some food in, close it, come back in half an hour, and then eat whatever comes out of the oven. Yeah. That's fine.
It's exactly what it is. Or maybe my life is just fucked up. I don't know.
No. That's a pretty normal. We do that here. In the UK, it's always wet and grey and cold and wet. And then it's grey again. And then we get like 2 weeks of sunshine and then it's grey again. So it's quite a depressing place to live. Like, you eat a lot of casserole, a lot of stew, a lot of things that you put in the oven for 4 hours and come out and you're like, baked gravy, yes.
That's very much how my area is as well. See, I'm telling you, we're just a copy. I mean, they were the first English settlers were here. And that's why they just copied everything they were doing back home.
It's such an inventive place to cut the way to school. New England? This'll do.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, all right, fine. It's a new one. We really liked England, but they wouldn't let us be Catholic or Protestant. I don't remember what they came here for, but it was religion. Let's be honest, it was a dumb reason. It was a dumb reason to leave a country.
It was a bad reason. When they got there, all their ideas had gone. Like, new England, that'll do. England Plus? How are we feeling about England Plus? England Pro?
England, new England Plus, yeah, dude.
New England Pro.
Yeah.
England XL. That would have been a real pro gamer
move. England XL. If I was in charge, it would be called England XL.
Immediately. It's now England XL.
I'm gonna start a petition.
It's like England, but it's in 4K.
Yes.
Everything's really misty here, man. You can't see anything. It's so old. Can I tell
you
about one more post? Can I tell you another posting incident? So,
yes,
when I finished my first run of when I got Elden Ring done, level one, like first run Elden Ring RL1, I was very proud of myself, and everyone was very proud of me. And Jeremy sent me a box containing something he promised to send me 2 years previously, which was the Darkroot garden, or the Artorias box for the Dark Souls board game. with Sif the Wolf and Artorias and some of like the future mushrooms and things in there. He promised to send me that box like 2 years ago and it just never happened. He's like, I'm gonna fucking do it. So he put that box together and he threw in like a bunch of like some of the Monster of the Week stickers. In fact, I am looking at a sticker of you and him in your Merlin art. You are on my computer desk, just over the top of the monitor. I can see you both sat there with your big shiny sword.
Oh yeah.
Hunking up.
It's air.
It's foily. It's good. It's a good look. It's what I strive to. I look at it in the morning. Be like that.
It looks very heroic.
Be like that. So I got a load of stickers and I've got the Monster of the Week koozie as well that holds the drink warm. And all of our drinks are too big for it, but it's fine. I'll find something someday. You Americans with your small beer bottles.
They are oddly small. We also use them for cans, I think. But those, I will say, those koozies are smaller than average.
Okay.
They are a little bit small.
It's like a Red Bull size. Like, you can get a Red Bull in there.
Size,
but I don't
is not
drink those,
Patrick.
So in this same box of lovely gifts, he also sent me a little present. They made these little Dark Souls 1 blind box figures, right?
Speaking of size.
Yeah, there we go. Speaking of cans. He sent me one, and he thought that he had sent me the one with Gwyn in it. Because he looked at the box, and there was a picture of Gwyn, and he's like, that's the one. And he put it in there
to
celebrate.
Describe Gwyn, he is a kind of a kingly-looking knight-type character. He's got a sword, you know.
Imagine if a king had dried up but was still alive.
Yeah, but that's what you're expecting. You're expecting to see a figure of that nature.
A figure of a fine figure of hollow humanity and kingliness. What I did get was I opened up the box. What I did open is I got the Sun Princess Guinevere, who is, for those of you who aren't familiar, halfway through the video game of Dark Souls 1, you fight through the hardest boss of the game, Ornstein and Smough. It's a horrible fight. And you go up some like a lift behind them and you open a door and there is a large woman, a very large woman with pendulous bosoms.
Mm-hmm. It's
She is the definition of the word thick.
There is a lot of that kind of stuff, like over-sexualization and kind of in video games. It happens, especially older games, you know.
Yeah.
Dark Souls has never been guilty of that, except for this one instance where you walk into this room. And it's like you cannot not comment on it. It's absurd. It's not like, you know, a little va-va-voom. No, this is, it's excessive. It's extreme.
She is a large, she's also physically very large, so you can't miss her.
Oh yeah, she's also like 40 feet tall.
Yeah, and she's sort of relaxed and reclining with the bazongas front and center, hard to avoid. Everyone leaves the amazing Chesterhead message outside the door. You're like, what's that mean? Yeah. Oh, I see. Yes. Pendulous bazoombas. And do you know what I heard about that? Apparently when they were designing that, I think Miyazaki said to the designer, like, something sort of motherly. And the guy who designed it read that as big old milkers.
Okay.
And he's like, he seemed so happy I didn't tell him to change it.
A man who was breastfed until he was 20. You just thought, this is normal, right?
This one's for you, bro.
Oh man, that's why it stayed in.
So I opened it up and I was like, oh, he sent me a boob figure. That's cool. I sent him a message going, thanks for the boob figure. And he's like, what? I was like, yeah, he sent me a Guinevere. He's like, oh no. He internationally.
Were you like with your family when this happened?
Oh, Laura pissed herself laughing. I was like, you have accidentally international shipped me a big titty anime statue.
Like, coming from the guy who didn't even like anime.
And you know what's great? He fucked up the postage tax as well. So he had to pay an extra fee to get it to me. It cost
an extra
him so
fee
much
for
money.
Each bazoonga. Oh my god.
It was so much money. I was like, dude,
That's
I have
incredible.
To help you pay for this. It's he wouldn't incredible. Let me. I was like, please let me split it at least. Please. It's horrible. It's on my desk. It's on my computer table. It is right above. It's not above the pictures of you, but it's close.
what more could you ask for? That's so much better than getting the right thing, I think.
Because
then
so
you wouldn't have
the
story.
It's wonderful. It's like just pure, like, yep, that's Jeremy energy. He did a whoopsie, a very large whoopsie across the ocean.
A very large whoopsie.
Quite a big whoopsie.
It wasn't any of the other figures. Like, if it was anything else in that set, it would have looked totally normal. I actually have some of the Dark Souls 2 boys from that. I have the, I guess it's the Farron Knight. Is that what it's called? Like,
yeah.
The Dark Souls 2 man from the trailers. I have him.
The man.
And I have.
Yeah, the man.
I have the man. I have Emerald Herald. I can't remember her real name. And, the girl with the pointy hat. What's her name?
The girl with the pointy hat?
Yeah, she aids you, Lucatiel. Is it Lucatiel? Is that her name?
Lucatiel. Sorry, I was thinking, there's no witch in that game. What am I?
No, she does have a pointy hat, though.
Pointy hat, yeah. If you just said, like, Cavalier, I would have gotten straight those away.
Three. Yeah, sorry. I have those three figures. No Booba, though.
No Booba. No, I have one Booba figure, and it's that one. Everything else on my shelves is everything else on my shelves is pretty much very attractive men.
And if, that's, and if anyone ever asks you, your daughter ever brings it up, just say she's motherly, okay?
She's very
motherly.
She's motherly, and we thought we'd let her go with it.
In the words of the developers.
She's a mother.
In the words of this horny Japanese developer,
We know what he looks at through his VPN.
Yeah. Oh my god. Do you have any stories that can top this one? Is this the final story?
This is maybe my favorite. That was maybe my favorite one, because it was just the perfect moment of when he realized, just seeing the all caps. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I don't have any topping stories. Although I do have, I have a more general one. So we played quite a bit of games together. And in the last, let's say about 3 years ago, we found a co-op game called We Were Here. That was being released free on PSN, and it was asymmetric. So, like, one of you was in one bit of a castle, and the other one was in the other bit of the castle, and, like, you were in a library, and the other one was walking around, and you would find puzzles, and you'd have to communicate to the other person, like, what you were looking at. Like, I've got, like, a couple of pipes, and there's a picture of what might be a cat, or maybe, I don't know, like, does that mean anything? And then the person in the library would run around and go, like, oh, hang on, I found something that looks like a cat. Has it got, like, four eyes? And you go, yes, it's got four eyes. Like, right. I think you hit the red button, and you'd have to work out the puzzles, like, between you over voice chat. Yeah. We had the best fucking time with those games. They've made, like, five of them. There was initial trilogy, then a little, the Forever, which was huge, like, they made a really big one, and then a weird little free co-op one called The Friendship. Ooh. And we played every single one of those together, and those games are, they will let you fuck up.
Yeah.
We
just irrevocably destroyed your game.
Friendship one. We had this horrible puzzle about, like, globes, and there were, like, one of you had to walk on your side, and it would light up something on the other person's side, and then you would put something up on a window, and you would take it from the window. It was like you were doing two puzzles at the same time. Yeah. It was really difficult, and we got through it, and you get a little ticket out of it at the end that says you've done it. You know, gold reward, you got a ticket. And what Jeremy did is he walked over to the grinder and put it straight in the grinder, like, that's the wrong machine.
You're just stuck?
We just had to do the puzzle again.
Oh my god.
And it was slightly different.
That is
classic,
took
us another
the
half
worst
an hour.
Behavior.
Oh. It was so funny because we didn't realize what we'd done wrong. Like, we didn't know that that wasn't the way you put the thing. It's like, why would they put the grinder next to the good machine? Why would they put
probably
that there?
Probably for this exact reason, just to fuck with people.
Fucking dickheads. But those games, like, if you have a co-op partner, you want to play a good co-op game that's weird, the We Were Here games, we had so much fun with them. We played, like, all three of them, or at the time there were three, and we did them, like, every, like, Thursday night. It was like, right, a couple of hours, or he'd get up at, like, because of his insane wake-up times, it would be 4 in the morning for him, and, like...
Yep.
9 a.m. for me, and I've just got out of bed, and I've dropped the kid off at school, and I'm like, right, cool. He's like, do you want a game? Like, why are you awake,
you bad? Yes, I would always wake
should,
up to like 400 things. Like, you've done so
you
much
awake?
Today, and I've been asleep. No,
yeah, I shouldn't. I have think been. He would come at me when you were asleep, because, like, I was there to receive. And he told me that much. Like, Chris is asleep. Everyone in America is asleep. You're awake though. It's like, yeah, cool. Send me your memes. Send me your news articles. You're upset about. It was true, Joe. And we played not just the We Were Here games. We played there's a game called Operation Tango, which was a similar idea, which was more like a sort of 70s cop kind of thing, where one of you was a hacker and the other one was the agent on site. And the hacker, I was the hacker controlling like cameras, and I could see him running around, and that was fun on the bun as well. And we got that from PlayStation Plus, so that was like nothing.
I hadn't even heard of that one.
That one, it's good. Operation Tango was good. And we also, we've played It Takes Two together.
Oh, yeah.
And that game took us, what with the complications with Jeremy's energy levels, you know, as he was going through the chemo and things like that, we would sort of schedule rough times to do it. And if he wasn't up for it, he wasn't up for it. There was no problem whatsoever. It's like, if you're not up for it, fine. When you're ready, we will game.
Yeah, it that's how we treated the podcast.
Yeah, it took us 2 years to get through that game.
Wow. Hey, but you did it.
In like, we did it. Session here,
that's
session there.
That's the two, and It Takes Two is 2 years.
Yeah, that's the two for 2 years. And we loved it. It was the divorce game. Like, do you want a divorce tonight? Like, let's do some divorcing. These terrible characters. But like, we were playing it, and like, is this game good? I don't know if this game is good. And after two sessions, like, this game is brilliant and also bad, and I can't work out how I feel about it.
Was it the writing? I think I've heard the writing in that game is weird.
The writing's a bit strange. There's a book with a pink eyebrows and a moustache. He's like, Dr. Love, and he talks like this. You gotta get some spice in your life. And it's awful. It's
that's intense. That's full on.
Every time he came on the screen, we'd just like, I don't want to talk about this, man. I don't care about you. But the actual gameplay was incredible. And again, peak gremlin opportunities in that game. I remember we were going through there's like a snow globe world you go through, like a winter world. And we're just trottling on through it, and he's gone one way and I've gone the other. And out of nowhere, my character gets knocked over. It's like, what was that? And I get up and I keep walking and I go down again. I'm like, something hit me. And I go down again and I look up and fucking Jeremy Greer, the shitbird, has found a pile of snowballs and is beaming me from about 40 yards away.
He's found a way to torture you.
He wouldn't let me get up. Like, stop it. Even when I found my own snowballs, he was better at it. I kept getting knocked down.
That's classic Gremlin Jeremy.
It was pure gremlin. It was so funny. I believe I might have cried while we were playing that. It was like, you have to let me up. We're never going to finish the game if you won't let me up.
Until you get the divorce. Why did you get divorced? Because he kept throwing snowballs at me.
We kept throwing snowballs. I just couldn't achieve it. But we loved that game. It was such a fun, like, co-op experience of, like, loads of little fun little tricks and little mini games and stuff. And, like, there were so many cool ideas, and it never let up with the ideas as well. And, like, we had such a good time. Like, just chatting and playing and, like, so what the fuck are we doing? What is happening on this screen? And that only got better or worse. I don't know what the verb is here, but it's one of them. Adjective. It's quarter past nine in my land, and I've been at work all day, so I don't know what adjective means. I'm fine. I can go all night. But we started playing Split Fiction. We managed maybe two sessions of it before the bad thing happened. And again, the fucking the ideas in that game, we were both every 5 minutes like, what? Wow. Like, so at one point you just become sausages and you roll around. You're pigs for a while and you go in a grinder and you come out as sausages and you've got to roll around and get yourself grilled and covered in sauce and jump in a bun. I don't remember doing anything other than just hysterically laughing that entire section.
Wow. Well, that's kind of a nice, you know, memory to have. Not just him fucking with you, but also the laughter.
The shared confusion of, what are we doing? Are we idiots? Like, is this the real game? Have we downloaded the wrong game?
That's what I always try to... I just try to remember how much I literally would always laugh at the most ridiculous, stupid things with Jeremy.
Because he was so quick with a not even a good joke, but it was a targeted joke.
It was targeted and it was timely. It was not always good.
A, He was a sniper.
Yes. Yes.
He was a pun at all times. A pun, a dick joke. Like, if you were just, it was when I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
There is a vast catalogue of this as well. So when I had him on, when I was doing Dark Souls 1, level 1, back in the dark days of like 10 years ago, I had Jeremy on as my guest to do what we called Dick Week, where we did Soul level 1 PvP.
Yes, I remember Dick Week.
Dick Week. And he was like, he was the PvP guy I knew. So I'm like, right, I want you for this. Like, bring your biggest gremlin. Like, bring your cheatiest
bring
save.
Bring your biggest dick.
Bring your largest phallus. And like, we did about 7 episodes, sort of post Four Kings, because I was able to invade after that. It's like, I know what we're doing. And we had a theme every day. One day it was like poise, so it's like full Havel's dragon tooth armor, you know, like, and here's what happens when you're soul level 1, you try that, you're so heavy you can barely move and your attacks do no damage because you're not strong enough, so it was just two idiots pinging off of each other trying to find anything that did more than 7 damage.
that's a unique problem that you face.
It was unique. And we were brainstorming ideas as we went. Like, what can we do for the next one? Like, what about a cosplay competition? Like, dress up like someone and use them against someone else. We did one that was just consumables. Like, just throwing items only. That was a fucking mess.
Dick week.
And then later on, like, at the back end of the DLC, we did it again. And we did some Soul level 1 PvP in the often not encountered Battle of Stoicism. PvP thing that they put in the DLC for Dark Souls 1 for people to exclusively do PvP in. And what happened is the community didn't want to do that and set up fight clubs just outside that room. Which is the most Dark Souls community thing, I think. It's the most Dark Souls 1 thing that's ever happened. Like, oh, we've made this whole PvP area. Cool, thanks. We'll be out here.
You enjoy it in there. We'll be over here.
But we went in and we tried loads of silly builds. And that's when we also developed the idea for Race Week. I think that was his idea. Race Week, which was we took off all our armor and we would start like at the top of a difficult level. And it's like, right, we're going to 3-2-1 go. Whoever can get the furthest in wins.
Oh, that's a really great idea.
It was so much fun. It was so good.
And
there
were
so
doing
many
this stuff without mods or anything, right? It was just
the creativity of the players. This is my legitimate save. Jeremy's save was less legitimate, shall we say.
For sure.
This is my legitimate, actual, real character recorded on a PlayStation 3 through a composite, like, you know, the red, blue, green cable, like, video adapter. Yes. It wasn't even HD, I think, at that point. I was recording in Potato Vision. We were recording Audacity on the computer at the same time. Like, it was a real operation to get this to work. These days, you just press a button and you can just record whatever you want for free.
Easy. No problem.
It was easy. It was a fucking adventure to get this done. We did 2 weeks of that, one near the beginning, one near the end, and it just joyful every time. And then I had him back on again when I was doing Elden Ring for another Dick Week. and I remember him telling me that he got you to give him loads of weird stuff.
Yeah, he did.
Like, what's the weirdest stuff in your inventory? I'll have all of it. That was how I encountered the Ash of War that lets you go meh and roll at your enemy like a sheep.
Yes. I forgot about that.
Cried real tears.
They know that there's people like Jeremy out there. They knew there are people who just like to fuck around and be little gremlins. So that's why they added in the little sheep ball.
It was so funny. Because he dressed like a sort of goat man before he did it as well. It's like, I've got an idea. Sure. I've got a theme. You'll see. I was like, okay, sure. And he just like, meh, and just Sonic the Hedgehog spun dash me into, blended me alive.
That's amazing.
Just the most gremlin.
You have to keep the spirit of Dick Week alive, I think. Bring it back.
I know you don't want to do
content work anymore, but
yeah, I'll come out of retirement for just Dick Weeking. I'm going to go on record here. I'm going to say it out loud so I'm actually going to do it as a because I'm not doing anything anymore because I'm lazy. I'm going to find all of those videos and I'm going to put them in a playlist and I'm going to share that on Blue Sky.
Yes.
Because
Yes.
They are the best. Like, I went back and watched them, and I was watching them this morning on the train to sort of get sort of refresh myself a little bit. Mm. And it was like, I don't know where you are with this, but like, I haven't really listened back to anything that we've done with him, you know, since he passed. Like, it's been like, not yet. Like, I'm not,
yeah,
not quite there yet
really
for
either.
It.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what? I'm doing this. We're going to talk about it. I want to freshen up a little bit. I want to get back. And like, just minute one, I was smiling. Like, minute one, I'm sat on the train grinning like an absolute prick. Like, yeah. And this is like Jeremy of 10 years ago, before he was Mr. Podcast. Yeah. Like, this is like first forays into like just chatting. And he was just so fucking good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Without even
trying.
This
is why I really need to find the last, well, not find, I just need Autumn to give me his audio for our last podcast. I just haven't, you know, pressured her for that because she's got stuff going on.
No. Yeah, because, like, when is appropriate? Never. Like,
right. Right. Because he was just in such good form. And you would think, I mean, this was just a couple weeks before, you know. So you would think that there would be some feeling. You know, you would sense like, oh, he sounds tired. Because in some of our past episodes, he had sounded tired. You know, the chemo was taking a real toll on him. But the last one we did, he was so good. Like I was just saying to Jake, he was just busting my balls the whole time. It was perfect Jeremy. It was peak Jeremy. So it's like, you know, people deserve to hear peak Jeremy at some point.
Yeah,
I haven't listened 100%. To too much of that stuff, but right before he passed, it was actually the day before he passed away. That was the last time I picked a random old episode of Monster of the Week. I think someone in the Discord had said something about it, so I put it on, I listened to it, and I was smiling and laughing the entire time, and for just that, you know, hour or so, completely took me away from the reality of, you know, where we are. And while I'm not there yet, it is still very nice to have that. And to know, like, okay, all of this stuff exists with him in it. All of these people who have listened to the podcast, they keep his memory alive every time that they go back and listen to something like that, which is kind of nice to for me to be a part of that, but also for that to just exist, for him to have his fingers in so many things. And now it's like, okay, you basically just introduced these people who are listening to a new, like, Jeremy thing that they can go and watch. Because now, if they didn't know about these videos, now they do, and now they can go watch.
No one watched those. No one fucking watched those.
Well, everybody, that's your job. If you're listening to this, now go and find these videos. But just send me a link to your YouTube channel, and
I'm going to make a playlist, and I will share it on the Blue Sky. And I will put it on there because it's important. And like, for me, I just want to, for you, I want to say that, like, what you've been doing, like how you've been podcasting since, I think for a lot, for me and for quite a few other people, has been that kind of like coping mechanism for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still talking about him. We're still, you know, he's still there in our hearts, in our lives. Like, he's still fresh, he's still with us, you know, and you keeping going and like coming again, bringing out all the stories about him and talking about how you're feeling, and like it's real and it's raw and it's important. Like, it makes such a difference. It's helped. And again, I've been listening to you like talk about Jeremy for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and like I never fail to smile at them.
Yeah, it is.
Even
it's been very uplifting
ones.
To hear everybody's. Yeah,
yeah.
Everyone's
even
feedback
the sad
has been
ones
very
are
positive.
Like, yeah, me too, man. Like, yeah.
Mm. There's just so many little things, and I have.
Yeah.
I struggled a lot with feeling like, oh, it's not right for me to continue, because like I mean I'm posting everything for free, but I'm just putting it on the Patreon because I don't want to flood our podcast feeds with stuff. Because I feel weird. I'm like, this podcast was us. This podcast wasn't me. So there is, every time I post, I'm like, is this weird? You know? And I know he wouldn't care, but it's still, they have that moment of like, I don't know. But people have been very encouraging and said basically what you said of like, you know, it's helping people process just to hear somebody yap about it. So I'm glad that it's serving its purpose.
I think he would find it very funny that you find this weird. I think he would bust your balls very hard. Like, what's wrong with you? Just talk. You're a podcaster. This is what you do. Why can't you podcast now?
I know. I try to keep that stuff in mind. Like, how would he actually react to this? Because he would just be... I mean, he was always busted by balls, but he was also like the nicest guy ever and was always going out of his way to check on me. If I was ever in a bad mood or anything, he would always go out of his way just to make sure I was doing okay. He just also would not hesitate to bust my balls.
Transatlantically, he did that to me consistently. Like,
yeah, and believe me, I was always in a bad mood, so.
Yeah. Like, to the back, like, we talk exclusively on Facebook Messenger. Like, I have on Facebook. It's like, you're on here a lot. This is fine. Like, I've still got all my chat with him on Facebook. I'm like, I was trying to scroll back. There was so fucking much. We talked all the time. And I'm like, kind of trying to find things as well. And like, you know, like old converse, like trying to find like bits about, you know, like when we connected on Facebook, when we did this, when we did that. Because like I said, I have no head for dates. I don't know when anything ever happened. I was trying to find our Monster Hunter clip, which I put up on Blue Sky the other day, which never fails to make me weep laughing, of the time we were fighting a monster called a Paolumu. We were playing some co-op, and we were trying to jump up and get up high, and what he did is he latched onto a nearby bird bat thing and just left, just flew away from the fight. And he could have jumped off that bird at any time, but he was crying with laughter.
Oh my god.
The audio stim of him saying, I'll be there in like 20 minutes. Like, that is burned into my brain.
That's so good. I think
I'm
that
so
came
glad
out
I found that again. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad that I was able to find that clip because we'd rediscover it every year or two and then just like repost it and just enjoy it fresh all over
That's
again.
That's so good. That is so good. Yeah, I had to make some space on my phone recently and my iPhone was saying, oh, well, these conversations, if you delete these, it'll save you space. The conversation that I have with Jeremy, like our text conversation, is 10 gigabytes. And I kept
fucking
it for so long.
Hell.
I was like, well, yeah, it was because we had all this podcast stuff we would send each other. A lot of it was just via texting. So I'm like, well, I'll keep it in case I need to search it. And now I'm like, well, I guess I just have permanent 10 gigabytes of data on my phone being used for this because I'm never going to delete this. It's all going to stay
there. Don't be stupid. Come on.
Yeah, that's just a permanent, you know, brick of data on my phone at all times.
Yeah, he sent me all of these things. I'm not removing them. Did I ever share? Did you ever hear? Because I used to send him lots of little clips of Violet talking to him. You know, sending him his words.
I think I did hear a few.
Yeah. I just to tie it back to the last episode, I sent him a video of Violet calling him a lunatic. I'm like, what is Jeremy? She's like, a lunatic. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, what's a lunatic? It's like, a lunatic, someone who's really funny. And I sent that to him like a year ago. And then he sent that audio to Jake, who turned it into an adorable little, who turned it into a song.
That's amazing. Jake, send me that. I need that.
I'm going to send that. There's your outro music. I'll send you that later.
It's gonna be Majula all the way through, and then that,
and then this lovely little ditty, this little ukulele ditty with my child singing about how Jeremy's a lunatic.
Perfect.
And he would do little things like this, little treats, little presents for you. Like you'll enjoy this. I had an idea, so I commissioned someone to do it at you.
That's so.
And that's Jeremy.
That's such classic Jeremy
idea,
too.
He would commit to the bit. As hard as any other motherfucker I know. Like, I'm
always
committed
to the bit.
Commit to the bit. We're doing it.
How do you think that we ended up with all these stupid podcast intros? I was like, wouldn't it be funny if we put Simple and Clean from Kingdom Hearts as an intro to our podcast? And he's like, yeah. What if we rewrote all the lyrics so that they were like Supernatural? I was like, okay. But then suddenly, I'm like, I gotta sing it? I can't sing. He's like, no. we're going serious on this.
I know someone.
And that's, like he always committed to the bit.
And he knew so many people in so many different like worlds. Yeah. Like he knows music people. He knows Dark Souls people. Like he knows all the Supernatural people, which is not a community I'm part of. Like, but the Merlin show, which I love the Merlin show. And I'm like, why haven't I been listening to the Supernatural outtakes at least? Because I feel like I probably would have quite enjoyed those.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah. That was the bit I should have been listening to. And I was like, because I kind of burned out with Supernatural. Let's not start that. But like with the Merlin show, I was like, oh yeah, all these people that I, you know, have met through that. You know, he was, I heard him described once as a pillar of every community that he chose to be in. I'm like, yeah.
That's right.
If he was in a community, he was one
of the dudes. He had that dog in him, as they say.
He had that dog in him. Where did he find the fucking time?
I don't know, dude.
I watch one TV show a week if I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I got like 60 minutes of TV time a week and that's it.
I watch one episode of one show a week and it's One Piece and that's all I have time for.
You know what I was just talking about last night randomly? I just happened to see, I was like, One Piece started, the anime started in 1999.
That's
26 years ago and it's still
insane
going. They're still doing a One Piece remake.
They're remaking it. They've done the live action, which was surprisingly incredible. And this is me as
one of the biggest surprises to ever come out of Netflix.
Basically, they've picked every person they've picked for every role is perfect. Like, yes, yeah, he is like, that guy is Luffy. The guy that plays Luffy in Iñaki Godoy, he's, I want to say, Portuguese, I think. I might be, it's a Spanish of descent, and he speaks sort of Spanish fluently as his native language. He then speaks English as a second language. This hero of a man learnt Japanese so that he could go to Japan to talk to proper OG One Piece fans.
That's amazing. What a guy.
And he's good at it.
In
a year, he is like fluent. He is talking, like, he's not like, he's quick. Like, there's videos of him like just talking to people. He's going out and just like going to the One Piece store and like chatting to people, like in a really stupid disguise so that people don't get it's him. And, like,
that's
people
incredible.
Looking, oh! Like, turned up at Comic-Con.
You gotta love
like,
when somebody...
The Japanese... Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's one of the world's best. They're all turning. The guy that plays Sanji, who's the cook who does lots of kicks, he's now very good at Taekwondo and is now a very good chef.
That rules. That's so cool.
Because he's like, I wanted to be good at it, so I took some cooking classes and now I'm just cook all the time. Like,
yeah, that's amazing.
I can't believe it's as good as it needs to, as it is, and the actual anime as well. Like, you think by episode 1149 that's running out of steam, it's better than bloody ever, genuinely.
That's awesome.
Like,
that's awesome.
Every week, we can't wait to watch it. Every single week. Like, wow. I can't believe it's good. It's a breezy 1200 episodes. It's like a four episode podcast.
No
or
problem.
Like that. Breezy.
My biggest surprise with One Piece, now I've read about 30 volumes of the manga, seen roughly 40 or so episodes of the anime, which is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. But I do remember when it was on TV when I was in a teenager or 12, 13, whenever it started. I remember out of the new shows that were coming out at the time, I think Naruto was in there. I thought that One Piece was the only one that wasn't cool because I just, you know, I was an edgelord. Nobody in One Piece openly had a sword. I didn't know about Zoro yet. But when I finally
no one looked like they hated
their exactly. Nobody was emo. Right. But I remember this one Saturday, nothing to do, and I put it on and there was One Piece, and I watched about three episodes and was like, oh my god, the show about the stretchy pirate is really good.
It's really fun, isn't it? It's fun. Yeah. And again, it will snap your heart in two. Like a twig.
That's what it was. It was the very early on where they go to like the shark village where, what's her name, Nami?
Yep.
It's where Luffy puts his hat on her head. And that's when it's like the first time where he's like, you're part of my crew, you're my friend, I'm going to protect you. And seeing that, even without the context of everything that came before, I was like, holy shit. I'm feeling over here.
Live action, nailed that. Nailed that.
Yeah.
Got chills watching
that.
Maybe I'll watch the live action.
I think I can finish the manga.
Good.
I think I'll eventually do that. I don't know if I'll ever catch up on the anime because that's just, it's too much now. But I can probably do the manga and I can definitely watch the live action.
We started the anime in COVID. We watched one episode a day with lunch.
Oh, wow.
And then over 4 years, we've caught up.
Wow. So this is what we'll do in a couple months. We're going to do a One Piece live action podcast, you and I.
Shit, because season two comes out in March next year.
Okay, there we go. Plan for it.
They're not pissing about either. I've seen the trailers and they're still not pissing about. They're going to do a good job.
There's
and
our gimmick.
It's
somebody
good.
Who's a... We'll have a One Piece expert and a One Piece newbie, and then we'll approach it that way. There we go, everybody. I said it publicly, so now you can expect
it. We found it. Sorry. Book it.
There we go.
Bookmark it.
All right.
It's happening.
Before we hit the two-hour mark, do you have any last comments to say before I get us out of here?
Fuck. I don't know, man. Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Because I don't think we realized it was his birthday today until, like, I went on Blue Sky on the way home, like, oh, yeah. That's today, isn't it? And like, actually, that kind of...
It's today.
That felt weird, but nice. I was like, yeah, I like that we're doing this today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was nice to talk about him for a while. And and hear somebody else's stories that weren't just my own.
Repeatedly, yeah. You know? It's nice. Well, again, when man I of the people, to, I hear he things that I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the best. Obviously he was the worst. I think we've clearly established that he was the worst, but he was also the best. And
when we say we mean he's the best. The worst, whenever we call him the worst, it means he's the best. He knew that.
Yeah, if somebody actually called him the worst, I think I would explode. I'd be very angry.
Ban that fucker into the sea.
We get to call that because we loved him. Yeah.
Like, no. You haven't earned that.
Exactly. But it was very nice to talk to you today. When I woke up this morning, I was pretty sad. I was feeling it. Because I wanted to make a post about him, and I did. But going through the motions of that just made me super sad. And it's okay to be sad. I think that's pretty normal and healthy.
Of course.
But it's still sad. It still feels bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And getting to then come over here and talk about him sending you an anime boob figure is, you know, it's a nice reversal, you know? It makes really cheers you up.
Takes the edge off. I remember Kay from Bonfireside Chat was saying it's like every now and then you'll bump into something and it's like a grief bomb. You'll just spot something and it will remind you of something. You're like, oh, man. Like, again, I was going through a PS5, yeah. You know, about a month after. It's like, oh, there's Split Fiction. Oh, like, we're not going to play that. Oh, yeah. And it really caught me. Like, I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, we had a lot of... We played most of the Resident Evils together. And then we got We got to Resident Evil 4, and I was like, this is the best one, Jeremy. You have to play it. We tried a couple different things, and we were having audio issues with the original version of the game before the remake came out. So we never ended up doing that. And then the remake came out. He bought it. We're like, okay, once we find the time, we're going to stream this. And it never happened. And I'm going to think about that forever. And that he never got to hear Leon ask if everybody was going to bingo. Like, Jeremy doesn't even know that everybody went to bingo. Leon had to kill him.
Is Leon ever going to find a girlfriend?
Eight away. There's so many things. I really enjoyed those.
I tried to catch into those whenever I could. I really enjoyed trying to find Leon Kennedy a girlfriend. Like, that was the best meta-narrative you ever could have done. And speaking of meta-narratives, I know you talked about it with Jake last week. Thinking Face was a work of art.
I need to listen to Thinking Face again so I can truly understand what it was.
Because I
have a friend
in real life
who has listened to it, and he says such nice things. He's never listened to any of my other podcasts. He's like, dude, I listened to your emoji podcast, and that was crazy. I'm like, was it that crazy? I need to go back and listen to it.
It was wild, because I listened to it in like chunks. When I moved house, we moved in here to have our child, like to build a bigger house to have our child. And I remember being in... We have a little back room where our washing machines are, and there's a little like back toilet as well, like a little sort of side utility room bit. It's kind of more of a greenhouse, but it's in there. And I just, that Thinking Face, I relate being stood in that room, doing something with a washing machine, trying to set it up, listening to you two talk about the grey light.
Oh, the grey light,
I forgot. The grey light. And then the episode
what
where it got
doing?
Really dark and haunted and backwards, like, what? And Laura came in like, what are you listening to? Like, I honestly couldn't tell you at this point. I've lost the plot entirely.
It was our most bizarre idea, and it was not planned. We didn't plan to make it that way. We just thought, wouldn't it be really funny if we did a podcast reviewing emojis? Because that's the dumbest idea anyone's ever had. You know, emojis are they don't have much value in our society, and they do not need to be reviewed. So we thought, well, let's review them because it'd take them really seriously. Why not? And the next thing you know, we were doing a horror podcast. I don't know what happened there.
Thinkingface.cool. Best URL that's ever been written.
Yeah, everybody go listen to it.
Genuinely, they're like 2-minute episodes, and every single one was joyful. I will go back and listen one day because that. I might go stand in that room and listen to it because I can't imagine hearing it in any other room.
Go do that.
It's cold in there, but I'm like, no, that's my Thinking Face room.
Beautiful. All right. We'll wrap it up. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I never know how to end these things. I'm out of liquid. I'm very thirsty. That's my motivation.
I had a cup of tea 2 hours ago. Yep, I am also a dried up husky.
I understand.
Boy. Yeah. Yes. No, this has been really, really fun. I love talking about Jeremy. Like I found it quite hard for the first couple months, and this has been so much easier than I thought. Like, this has been, it's all just flowed out. And it's all, it's all good. I thought I'd be wobbly, and I'm not. It's been nice. It makes me happy that we've been able to, you know, chat and tell new stories and just celebrate the wonderful man that he was.
Yeah. This was the original idea for Don't Give Up Hunks. It was going to be like Don't Give Up Skeleton, where I interviewed people about Jeremy. But then I was too lazy to talk to any other human beings and just started using it as a personal diary. So, as a vent room. Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening.
So I'll tell you, I'll help you up. So where can people find you, Chris? Where can people find you? Do you have anything you want to promote?
I'm at Local Bones. If you're listening to this, it's probably on the Monster of the Week Patreon for free. I just say that because I don't want people to give me money.
No.
But it's on there, and you can go and listen to it there. I don't know. Eventually, I mean, Patty has 100% committed to doing a One Piece live action podcast with me, so you can look forward to that.
Dude, I'm in. I'm getting back on the fucking horse, man.
With me, so yeah, and it's short. It's a short show, right? You can just keep showing, and then you're free.
It's six brief episodes, and then an accidental whoopsie addiction to the rest of it. It's fine. No,
yeah. Next thing you know, we're on episode 900.
Quick season, in and out. Cut to the Rick and Morty sat there going, ah.
No sweat. all right. Well, everybody, Patrick, would you like to say this with me? Remember, everybody, don't give up hunks.
Don't give up hunks.
Yeah, good. I could hear the comma when you said it. That's, you need to be able to hear the comma. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
What is Jeremy?
A lunatic.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lunatic. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lunatic.
Why
is that?
A lunatic is clumping your call someone when they're really funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lunatic. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lunatic. Why is that?
A lunatic is clumping your call.